Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.
Now, our shapeshifter today is an entrepreneur, a property investor, and he is the author of How to Make Your Salary Work for You, Percy Singo. And I believe he's already on the line. Mhlekazi, good evening.
Good evening to the presenter and listeners.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic. Really appreciate that. And your day?
Oh, no, the day was so busy, but it was fulfilling.
Busy is good. Apparently, when people are busy, they make money. So I like people who are busy personally, because then they are making money, you see.
Yes.
And that laugh is a laugh of a person with money. I love that. Eh? No, I really appreciate your time this evening. Look, we really do. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I like the title of your book, How to Make Your Salary Work for You. But before we get into that, let's start with, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, yes. I am Percy Singo, originally from Venda.
Okay.
And then I studied that side, and then but I was raised mainly in a church environment.
Like, yeah.
I'm those people who, from young age, I was just in the church
environment.
Yes. And then I went to Val University of Technology. Then
okay.
I studied civil engineering.
Okay.
And now I'm working around Joburg here as a civil engineer, besides the other things that I do on the side, like hosting seminars.
Which, yes.
We are teaching people about finance. And then also being an author, which is a recent thing.
Yeah.
And then again, I'm also on property investment, where I invest in property.
Ah, fantastic. I want to unpack a little bit about that, you know, as we continue on this show. And I mean, this particular segment is for people like yourselves who are leading in industry. You know, I'm sure you've got young people or younger people than you who are looking up to you as well. And maybe some of them might not even have the opportunity to have these type of conversations with you. And so that's why we have these conversations. So really interested in unpacking what you've just said. But before we do that, let's go back a little bit. You said you were born in Venda.
Yes.
Okay, where exactly in Venda?
Venda, it's in Limpopo. It's next to Thohoyandou. It's more like 7 minutes away from Thohoyandou.
Yeah, fantastic. Yes. And how was it like growing up? I mean, the socio-cultural landscape at the time, when you stepped out of your house, what did you see? How can you paint a picture of us of how things were growing up there?
It was a very good environment.
I
think I was raised in a very good family. And then, so for me, I feel like I'm one of those people who were just so positive in life from young age.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to great things. And I always believed on the inside that there's something greater for me. And then which makes even when I'm dealing with a lot of things, it's like I don't focus on a lot on what I'm going through because of what is in my mind.
Right? Yeah.
This is just a journey. I'm just passing through this.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. What gives you the ability then, Percy, to look beyond the difficulty that you might be going through at that time?
I will say it is very important to, maybe if I'm just giving an advice to parents, to say it is very important that you take your children in environments where they will be groomed in such a way, because I feel like I've just been groomed in that way. It's the way that I was raised. So I'm just living according to what I was raised.
According to what you were raised. That's amazing. So you're saying basically there's a huge part that your parents played in, you know, influencing who you are today and all that. And the one challenge that you go back to your childhood and always remember, what is it? I mean, we all have that thing in our childhood, like, hey, this one.
Yeah, no, the challenge that I can remember, it's like for me, I was from a family where my mother was a cleaner.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, if your mother is a cleaner and then she's the only person that is paying the bills,
yes.
Then you'll have a challenge there and there financially.
Yeah.
Those are the challenges that I can just remember. But it was not extreme in a way that I can say I really suffered and not. No, I think like it was able to be covered by other people. Like there were people who would just come to your home and say, we brought this, we brought this. So I think I didn't really suffer that much.
Yeah.
But there was a few challenges then.
Ah, you are definitely blessed. You are definitely blessed.
Yes.
And that's an amazing appreciation. Do you think that upbringing had an impact in the person that today you are?
Yes, I feel like it is 100%. Yeah, it's the reason why things are running the way they are running.
Yes.
Because most of the things around me, when I look at them, I feel like I'm just having a smooth cruise. It's very even challenging when somebody ask me to say what are the challenges, because when I look around me, it's, like it's very few challenges that I can pinpoint.
Hey,
you know.
Hey. When I you are deputy child of the favorite one, you know, you might share a bit of that. You are blessed, Wena. You know, you are blessed. And look, we thank God, right? We thank God because clearly the Lord has been leading, and we appreciate that as well in you.
Yes.
Now, growing up, then, what did you want to be?
At first, I wanted to work in an ambulance, just emergency medical care. That was what was on my mind.
Yeah.
And then I was just looking forward to that. There's even one thing that I even remember, because I was always telling people about it to say, I will become this.
Yeah.
I remember one of my friends even asked me one time to say, do you know that universities are very expensive? Because you keep on saying, I'm going to be this. And that is the first person that made me to think about my family, to say, oh, actually, my family doesn't have money to take me to that university. Because he was the first person to ask me such a question.
Yes.
So I was looking forward to be an emergency medical care.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad that I'm not that.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. So it's almost like your career found you in a way, even though you wanted to do that. And then,
yes.
I mean, with such people around you, what made you to not listen to them? And I'm asking because there are young people who are growing up perhaps in very dire situation, and they are surrounded by people who tell them they are failures, they can't, you come from this family, so you cannot be this or that. What made you believe that you can still go to university, even despite the fact that, you mean, realistically, the person maybe was not being malicious, but he was being a little bit realistic that university is expensive. But what made you to look beyond that and still believe?
Yeah, I think what drives me is two things. I would say first, it's hope. I always have hope that things are going to change for the better. So even when I'm growing up, I was not really out there as a child. I was more like reserved. I was those kids that you will say, maybe this person is boring, because I was very reserved and focused on the goals.
Mm.
So whilst the second one is that one that I just mentioned, to say when you have a clear goal to say I want to see myself reaching there, then you make sure that you do everything in your power to make sure that you actually get where you want to go. So
fantastic.
I feel goal is one of the things that keeps me on my feet to say I want to reach that, and then so I will start applying even for bazaaries, because I want to see myself getting there.
Mm.
Yeah.
First day in engineering class, how was it?
I was so excited because engineering, it was more like it was my third choice, I think.
It was
my third choice, because when I went to university, I went and studied operations management.
Yeah.
But some of my friends, they came back who were doing civil engineering with a project. And that project was the same project that I did in grade 8 as a science expo project.
Yeah.
And then it reminded me of what I did then. Then I was like, yo, I like this course. I'm going to change to civil engineering.
Yeah.
So I was so excited that eventually I'm studying civil engineering.
Ah, that's great. You didn't have the heebie-jeebies of university and like, yo, I am here. And just that thing can be overwhelming for some people.
No. For me, it was different.
Yeah.
I remember even to get into civil was a very difficult one
because
I was more like a late applicant where they just say, come early in the morning.
Yeah.
Then I arrived at 4 a.m., to the HOD office so that they can approve my things. But fortunately, in grade 12, I had done well. So when the HOD looked at my results, he was like, I'm signing this, you're going in.
Ah, fantastic. That's what I'm saying. You are blessed when the hand of God has always been around you. And some of the challenges that you faced at university, what is the one that you remember?
The one that I remember is that the first year when I arrived there, I was studying through NAFSIS.
Yeah.
And then because I changed a course to civil engineering, I discovered late that they don't fund you if you change a course. So I was left in a civil engineering, but without funding.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember as I was growing up, there was a time I was really like praying to say, I want a bursary because... It was more like if I don't get a bursary, the last thing that will happen is just to go back to Vend.
Mm.
And then actually it happened on the right time where I got a bursary, which ended up funding me up until I graduated BTEC.
Ah, fantastic. I just wanted to share with you a comment that comes from David all the way in South Sudan saying, glory be to God Almighty. So you see how inspiring your story is, inspiring people who are listening to us all the way in South Sudan there. So that's amazing. And then you then finished university. Your first job, how was it?
My first job was, it was more like... I got my first job a day after my birthday. Like my birthday was on the 31st of May. Then on the 1st of June, I was starting on my first job in 2010.
Percy, let's leave this thing. There's no way things can be just happening like this for you, like one after the other. Like no. Well, there's something you're doing there that we don't know about. But that's amazing,
when I look at it, I think about my mother she actually worked in a church for 15 years.
Yes.
So when I see blessing happening, I'm like, it's the sacrifices that she made as a cleaner in a church environment.
That's amazing.
My first job, it was more like an internship where I was in Mpumalanga.
Mm.
It was great because it was more about just getting experience, although it was more challenging because when you arrive in an in-service training, it's not like you'll be treated like any real employee.
Yeah.
So I was doing the work like a laborer inside there. So sometimes you find it's too hot, but you in civil engineering, and then you are outside there in the ground constructing a road.
Mm.
So there was those challenges of now you are just an intern, so the treatment was more like you are a laborer, but it was for the good because they just wanted you to know everything so that when you get that position, which is higher, you know what is happening down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say that was one of the challenges, being treated like that as a junior in your working career within civil?
Yes, I would say it was one of the challenges. And again, just to being on a contract, I feel like it was more challenging. I didn't like to see myself as a contract worker.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be permanent.
Mm.
And then so being in a contract, I feel like it limits you in a way because there are things that you'll want to buy that you cannot buy because you are in a contract.
Yeah.
So those are just the challenges that I faced in my career.
Sure. And how did you navigate your career challenges? Now I'm talking about it broadly.
Yes. Yeah, the one for just working in an extreme environment, likely because it was just the 1 year. After that 1 year, I had to move to Pretoria to another job, which I was now a professional. So it was more like just the short-term sacrifice, but in the future, it was all worth it.
I'm sure with us, the politicians would say hindsight. Benefit of hindsight, you look back and you're like, I don't know why these guys like that word, benefit of hindsight, but for some reason, they like that. Okay, and when you now look back at your career as well, and I want to get into the book now, but when you look back, what is the high point, a point at which you're like, this, I was at my highest in my career?
I would say it's now. I feel like I'm working for. I work for municipality, so I feel like it's a very good environment to be in terms of where I am in my life, because I'm very busy on the side things. So I don't want to be in an environment where I'm outside this, because in the municipality it's more like you're office based.
Yes.
So I'm able to be fruitful or even on the side business that I'm doing. So I feel like I'm in the right place, in the right position, which allows me to thrive on my side business.
Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Take us through then that side business. You're an entrepreneur, property investor as well. How do you balance that with your everyday work, and particularly what type of property investing are you into?
Oh, yes. I would say property, the good part with property is that it doesn't need you on a daily basis.
Yes.
So I can spend maybe a month without going to my properties, because I've already developed systems where the business can run without me being involved on a daily basis. For me, that I must focus on is just to raise money to do the next project.
Yeah.
So that's where I am. And even during the construction, I'm so involved into making sure that things are being done correctly, especially because I come with I'm a civil engineer as well. So when people are constructing for me, I want to be hands-on and to be very involved in making sure that they're doing the right thing. But the way of a side business, for me, it started as just saving money. I was mainly about saving money. My life is just... it was just saving money and saving money. But I reached to a point where my house was paid off, and then I had bought the car cash. So I had all these important things which they were no more taking money from me. So I was just saving and saving and saving. And then when I look at my savings in the bank, I realized that this money is not growing, because if you put maybe 100,000, for example, in the bank, you can be able to get 600 per month on interest. So I became worried because of the interest. I felt like I need to move my money into something that is secure first, and then that also will make good returns. And then when I check around, for me, property was the safe one, which I feel like there's a lot of benefits here, because number one, the value of your property is growing. And then number two, you are getting rental income on a monthly basis. So I felt like this is a good investment. I'm benefiting from both sides. So that's why I ended up going for rental. But what I do is that I buy a house, maybe a two-bedroom house.
Yeah.
Then I turn it into rental where I extend maybe into 12 rooms.
Sure.
Then you find each tenant, maybe, for example, is paying 3,500.
Yeah.
You can find one house alone, it's making something like 40,500.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the running cost of that house can be around 10,000, which means 30,000 is more like your profit. Yeah, so that's the kind of business where I am into.
I was about to say, you just mentioned about 100, just like that. You're like, 100,000 here. I'm like, this guy is just throwing 100,000 just like that. You're like, they are nothing. It means you are used to talking this language. You're like, 100 tower there, 45 tower there. You know, I was like, we are just accompanying you guys, because you guys are like, making the things that make the pause to happen. That's an amazing story there, and I think it's such an inspiration. Tell me about juggling the two. Then, do you ever get time to sleep? How do you navigate a job and also property, entrepreneur? You do events like you mentioned as well.
Yes. I think the one that takes most of my time is the 9 to 5, the one which I do every day. That's the one that mainly takes my time. For some reason, it's very amazing that even though it's the most one which I spend most of my time in, in terms of returns, I make more income using my side business than going for it. So it's like, work is the one where I spend most of the time, but it's not where I get most of the income.
Yes. Shoo. Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. Writing a book. Who wakes up right in the middle of the day or somewhere or sometime, decides to write a book? Why did you decide to write a book?
Yes, there was two reasons. One is just, I feel like if you discover something, you discover something, and then you want to give it even to the next generation. I feel like the right to put that information, it's in the book. So that's one of the reasons why I wrote a book. And then the second one, it was because I was doing a lot of events. And then people will always come to me to say, where can we find this information? And then I didn't know even where to recommend them, because most of the books that I read is personal development books.
Yeah.
I've never got the time to read a book about finances. It's more like, for me, finances is just a lifestyle, which is not based on what I read somewhere. So I didn't have a specific book that I can say, go and read this book. So after some time, I decided to say, let me just write a book for the people that have been asking me for the book. It was more like responding to those questions.
Ah, that's amazing. That means you made money here. Anyway. Responding to a demand. People who wanted you to write a book. Sure. Anyways, there could be a lot of things you could have written about civil engineering, some of the projects that you are doing. But how to make your salary work for you? Why that one?
It's because most people, they will definitely, usually when you talk to people, you will hear them saying, if you want to make money, you have to leave work in order to focus on side business. If you are under somebody, you won't be able to make money. So with my experience, I realized that without me having to leave work, I'm able to do things on the side, which generate money. So it was more like, you can use your salary as a seed to start your investment goal, so that you can have multiple streams of income.
The problem is that, you know, Tina, our salaries get consumed in the moment they hit our bank accounts. So becomes very difficult for us to think about how do we take that seed and germinate it and make it, help us to do that. That's amazing. And where can people find the book?
The book, it's on Amazon first. On Amazon. And then, but I prefer when people get it from me directly from my social media platforms, where you can search PC Single everywhere. It's Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Find me there.
Fantastic. Okay, that's amazing. And I think I definitely want to add to the books that we have. Let's talk about money now, since we are on that topic. How would you characterize your relationship with money? Is it good, toxic? It sounds on your side that everything is going very well.
The relationship has been so good because for me, I learned about money from church when I was still young. So by the time I started working, it was more like I already had the information. It was the issue of saying implement it. And then I was not one of those people who go and they make a mistake financially, then they want to recover from it. So for me, it was like from first month, I started saving my salary from there. So for me, saving has been I've been doing saving for more than 13 years now. Mm. It's going to be 14 years. Mm. So I've been saving every month. And then that's why even a project, I'm able to do it cash from my own saving without going to the bank to look for funding. And then when you tell somebody something like, this is how much I save per month, they can't believe it. But it's because it started small. And then with time, you are making sure that your lifestyle, it's just a basic lifestyle, although your income keeps increasing, because my income has been increasing and increasing, but my lifestyle, it didn't really change a lot. It's more like it's still I'm still living a humble life, although the income dramatically changed.
How do you then respond to people who are saying you are not I suppose I was zisubum nan, you know, because I suppose there's that thing, Yahore. Why would you want to live a frugal life when you can afford something better?
Yes. No, I think like in the beginning when I was still starting to do it, it was more tighter than now. At the moment, even though I'm still saving, but for somebody who's just living their normal life, I might be living the same lifestyle with them, but because for me it's a sacrifice, and then for somebody, they when they look at it, they might say, no, that person is really living, because I will be still going on vacations, I'll still be doing basic things, but now it's easy because I'm making those things out of returns. It's no more salary that is paying for
those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Your life is it puts us under pressure. That I've got a comment from a listener who says, "Joe, akusenzima." You know, so you're putting us under pressure there. But maybe before we even come to the end of this one, what would you say is a lesson that you think people should take around money?
Yeah, one of the major lesson I will say, it's not to worry about what people are saying. I feel like there are two things that puts a person under pressure.
Yeah.
First, it's yourself as a person to say, I've suffered when I was growing up.
Yes.
Now I eventually get a job. So you want to make sure that everyone can see that now I arrived. And then usually when you want to show people that you have arrived, you won't go and buy expenses.
Yeah.
You'll go and buy liabilities so that the people can see that you have actually arrived. So I feel like it's the pressure we give ourselves and the pressure we are given by people to say, you are a civil engineer, you must live in a certain way.
Yes.
And then they end up making you to commit in things that you won't be able to handle.
Sure. Social media as well places a whole lot of pressure on us.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good one that we need to learn. And parents, what would you say to them about money and teaching their kids about money? It seems like you've had a lot of lessons, like you said, from your childhood as well. How important is it that parents sit and talk to their children about money?
Yes, it's very important. I feel like the subject of money, it's a subject that we cannot really pinpoint to say who is supposed to teach a child money. You can't say, should it be a school? Should it be a church? Should it be parents? For me, I was fortunate that it was a church. But I feel like it will be everyone's responsibility to teach the child about money at an early age. I feel like the school must allow a child to learn about money, and churches, I feel like it's important to not only to teach about things that will benefit you once you leave earth. There should be things that you are taught that will enable you when you are here to be fruitful and to make it in life. And then again, I feel like parents also plays an important role in teaching their kids about money. So it's everybody's responsibility to teach a child about money.
Sure. What advice would you give your younger self?
If I was to give an advice, for me, there was one of the mistakes that I once made in the past financially, but it was more like I was trying to pay off a house. And what I was doing, I opened a 7-day notice where I was saving money there.
Okay.
And then I realized later that if I had paid that money in a bond instead of saving it on the saving account, I would have finished that house quicker than I did with saving on the. So I feel like that's a very good lesson to everyone who's saving debts, and then you are trying to settle your debt to say, should you save on the side and take a bulk money and go and pay it, or should you just put more money on the debt, which I would say is better to put more money on the debt than to save on the side to try to close the debt.
Yeah, put more money on the house to help you to close that debt a little bit quicker. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Sounds like there's still more properties to add.
I feel like there's a lot of things that I'm going to be doing. First, I feel like the business on the property has to grow in a certain, because mainly I've been focusing on township, which are closer to the city.
Yeah.
So I think it's time that I start looking at the city itself to see where can I go and what can I do in
the
city.
Where's 100 tawanyana to put in jail, you know? Yeah,
so one of the things, and then I feel like even the teaching people about money, it's one of the things that I would like it to grow more than where it is. Although I know that so far I'm doing a lot on the teaching people about finances in such a way that last year alone I spoke in 29 events, and it included outside the country and inside the country. I feel like I need to do more into teaching people about how to get their money.
That's fantastic. That's lovely. Any last words to people listening, younger people especially?
Yeah, the last words that I will say, I feel like education, for example, it's important to have education. Even if you have business ideas as a young person, it's good to go to formals, university and study and get information, because there's a lot of people with ideas, but you find already because you don't have a job, you are not even able to access funding to fund your business model. So I feel like education is very important for
us
to inquire information and to be educated so that we can be employed and you can use that job to follow your dreams.
Fantastic. Sure. Percy, thank you so much. I think your story is really encouraging, and we shall continue to also just connect with you a little bit more so that you can share some of these tips and nuggets with our listeners. But thank you so much for taking the time this evening.
No, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Have a good one.
Yes, thank you.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.